Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday. We are less than a week away from the NFL draft, and I don't think we know anything more now than we did a month ago as these general managers are giving their pre-draft press conferences. Joe Shane gave his yesterday. He's giving you zero insight into whether or not they're going to take a quarterback. I mean, it's just very difficult for a team that's not in the top three to have a future quarterback come out of this draft if you're not trading up and taking J.J. McCarthy. Unless you think Michael Penix later in the draft, whether it be late in the first round or in the second round, is your guy. And I think that, you know, Boomer believes that. I think that there's a lot of people that love Michael Penix, maybe more than some of these other guys, but are afraid of the injuries. But this is a classic overrate spot in the draft when you've got three guys that are going to be taken in the top three, Caleb Williams and probably Jaden Daniels and Drake May to the Patriots. And then that fourth pick, which is the Arizona Cardinals pick, they're fielding calls, and it's either going to be the Broncos, it's going to be the Vikings, or it's going to be the Giants that makes a big trade to get up there to draft J.J. McCarthy because he's the next in line, and they can't find a quarterback anywhere else. And then they convince themselves that he is the guy that's going to win them a championship, and then you end up taking someone you shouldn't take. Now, we've seen guys that get really overrated heading into the draft that end up falling, and we get fooled into thinking that they're going to be taken high. For example, Malik Willis. That Malik Willis draft, he was being talked about as a top five guy, maybe even the first guy taken. And then he fell way down into the draft, even past the second round, I believe. But then you had a guy like Zach Wilson, who went all the way up to number two. So I think that I'd be shocked if J.J. McCarthy was not picked fourth at this point by one of these teams that traded up with the Cardinals.
Amazing. It really is. And sometimes teams reach, and not sometimes, oftentimes teams reach. The biggest question I would always have for a general manager and for any of these teams, do you draft for need? Do you draft for best player available? Because there, you can make the case for both sides. You know, if you're drafting best player available, it makes your team deeper. If you're drafting for need, it makes your team, you would think, fit better. But at the same time, when I look at the Giants and I look at the quarterback position, if you're not getting one of those top three, if I go back 2 months ago, the next grouping was second round talent, essentially.
That's exactly what I say every year.
Right.
Somebody gets overrated because it's the next guy, and there's so many quarterback needy teams that they convince themselves that they love the guy.
So to me, if I'm the Giants and I'm not trading up to get one of those top three guys, you've got other needs on this team where you're going to get and could get a great player where you're at if you don't make a move. I also would not be opposed to slotting down for a desperate team. Maybe have multiple first-round picks or add a second-round pick, whatever the case might be. I do think with what they have in the quarterback room right now, I think this team would be, depending on what they do in the draft too, I don't think this is a bad team. Do I think they're a Super Bowl champion team? Absolutely not. But I also don't think drafting a J.J. McCarthy puts them there either or any closer to it. There was an interesting question posed to Joe Shane yesterday, and that was, how do you feel, or how would you feel, if you passed on a guy that became a superstar or took a guy that you thought was going to be a star and he turned out to be a bust? And he answered the question in circles and didn't really answer it. But to me, you have to stick to your board. You've got to stick to what you think of the player, how he fits your team, and how he fits the spot that's vacant or that you're looking to fill, rather than just reaching. And I tell you, we did it a month ago when I went through the drafts over the last however many years. More quarterbacks miss than make.
Yeah, and this is the problem, though, because and you wonder why it happens every single year. The reason it happens every single year that people essentially don't learn their lesson is where else are you going to get the franchise quarterback? Because when you hit on the guy, he stays there forever.
Sure.
So the Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, they stay there forever. So now you're essentially left with the guys who don't make it. Like Sam Darnold is currently the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. Guys like that who bounce around. You know, someone who's actually done a really nice job and got a contract, Baker Mayfield. But still, you don't think Baker Mayfield's going to be good enough to win you a Super Bowl. So then you got those guys that flamed out or was a backup somewhere that you're giving an opportunity to. And it's like, or you get a guy who's at the end of his career that becomes either a cap casualty or they don't want to pay him anymore. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why this happens every single year. And it's also because of the way that the cap is set up. Because if you hit on one of these young guys, you are set up like the next couple of years, like for the Houston Texans, are going to be amazing if CJ Stroud continues to play that well because they don't have to pay him for a couple
of
years.
Not yet.
So, this is why you say, all right, why do you keep buying scratch offs when you've only won $10 in the last 4 years? Because there's still a chance that I can win $1 million.
Yeah, but there's also numerous ways you can win. And I know you're going to tell me the quarterback's the biggest way. That's probably true. But I'll throw out to you, all right, they're a good team, but your guy with the Chargers, I mean, he might be...
I don't hear...
Okay, and I don't either. All I hear is generational talent.
Oh, my God,
this arm talent. All right, he's got a big arm. You know what he doesn't do? Win.
Yeah.
He doesn't win enough. So, yeah, you can go draft the quarterback, and you might have a player that's pretty good, but if you don't win in those first 4 years, then you've got big decisions to make. All kidding aside, and I know they had a big comeback win last year in the postseason. Trevor Lawrence, has he been the lockdown franchise quarterback that's going to be there for the next 15 years winning 3 Super Bowls?
No, and that all changed last year. And it's funny because all these like memes came out and stuff of like, oh, look, Daniel Jones and Trevor Lawrence have the same exact numbers. The Trevor Lawrence hype was happening before last year. Before. Now nobody feels the same way about Trevor Lawrence. Now, they could maybe say, listen, he was hurt a lot of last year. We expect him to bounce back and have the year we thought last year. Maybe. But nobody's overrating Trevor Lawrence any longer.
No.
I think more people think that he's more of an average quarterback than someone that's great. I do think, though, coupled with Jim Harbaugh, that Justin Herbert's going to end up having a huge year because he made Alex Smith go from total bust to a quarterback that led that team to an AFC championship game. He made Colin Kaepernick a Super Bowl quarterback, not winning quarterback, but got him there. So he's been able to do that. He's made J.J. McCarthy be essentially a top five pick.
Right, but that goes to the point, though. It's more than just the player. It's the player. It's the team he's on. It's the coach he has in place. You can bring it back. I am no fan of Zach Wilson by any stretch. I'm not a Daniel Jones fan. But the one thing that you can tell me or we can tell you about these guys is there's been very little stability. And you talk about Justin Herbert now linked up with Jim Harbaugh. I agree with you. While I just said Justin Herbert hasn't been as great in terms of winning and doing things that people discussed that he would or could do. Now I think he's got a great chance to do it because I think the infrastructure with the head coach coming in will change that. It's everything. It's not, there are so few guys, Patrick Mahomes being one, that can take what I think a lot of people thought would be an average, a pretty good team this year and can elevate them to Super Bowl champion. There's not a lot of guys that can do that. There's just not. And when you look at the number one picks, you mentioned Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield has been a good pro. He was the number one overall pick.
Number one overall pick.
That's supposed to be a guy that wins multiple Super Bowls and is a unbelievable player. He's a tough, gritty guy, but that was the number one overall pick. Has he played like a number one overall pick?
No, he hasn't. But the general managers are always going to do this.
I know. I understand.
And you're right. they want to hit on this more than anything. And I think, and this is why so many guys get fired after a couple of years, because they tie their names to these guys and they say, all right, you're going to be the one. Now, all right, you want to talk about organizational stability? If there's the Giants right now don't really have it. I would say that the Vikings with Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson and Jordan Addison and Brian Flores as a defensive coordinator, and they play indoors and they got a great practice facility and everybody loves them. The owners great. Like, that might be a better place for a rookie quarterback than some of these other places.
Sure.
But I still think if they trade up to get J.J. McCarthy, if it's either the Giants, the Vikings, or the Denver Broncos, trade a haul to number four to get J.J. McCarthy, that will sink the current regime there.
Yeah,
eventually.
We went over the first round quarterback picks over the last, I think we did what, last 15 years?
Yeah.
And it was, I think it was more than 50% of them turned out to be not much. I think it was like 60%. If I just look at the number one overall picks, not first round, number one overall quarterback picks from the year 2000, it's 50-50 at best.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there are some big-time players on this list, but you know what else is also on this list? The David Carrs of the world, the Jamarcus Russells of the world, Sam Bradford. I mean, you miss a lot, even at number one.
Yeah, I think the guy out of this draft that I like the most is Jaden Daniels. He's the guy. If I had to pick one that I think is going to turn out to be really good, it's going to be him. Now, the other guys, I'm not so sure. I mean, I know that Caleb Williams, you know, Boomer thinks he's, you know, one of these special guys, and Patrick Mahomes light or whatever. I don't know. I kind of need to see it at the NFL level. Plus, he does seem like someone who could be very easily not dealing with adversity well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where I feel like Jaden Daniels is like rock solid. This guy could just deal with anything.
I would think, and I don't know these kids clearly, and I haven't watched enough of it, as you know, but they all have talent. I mean, I don't think we can question their ability on the field, athletically, what they can do. Most of them can run. Most of them have really good arms. The question for me is really the mental side of the game. How do they deal with the pressure? How do they read the game? How do they see the game? How do they see the defense? And can they process quickly at the NFL level? Because all the others, even Zach Wilson is a hell of a big-time athletic kid. He's got a great arm. But for whatever reason, it don't work at the NFL level. And that tells me he's not seeing the game right. That, unfortunately, I think until they get them here, aside from a couple of can't misses, I don't think any of these guys have any idea what they're getting.
Andrew in Hartford. What's going on, Andrew?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. What's up?
The Giants are no way taking a quarterback in the first round.
Okay.
Daniel Jones is our man. You know, Dable, he needs to win. I just don't see it. We could just...
I flip a coin.
We got him in O-line, and... This is,
you know what the problem is, Andrew? Because I agree with you in the sense that Daniel Jones has already taken this team or been the quarterback of a team that's gone to the playoffs. He won and played a superior playoff game, won a playoff game. So he's proven to you he can do it. The problem you have with the argument is the injury history. And I wouldn't fault the Giants for taking a quarterback, not because they think Daniel Jones isn't a good quarterback or can turn out to be a really good quarterback. It's that you've got to be really fearful that this kid can get through 17 games of a regular season, especially when you figure a big part of his game is his size and the fact that he runs the ball and takes a lot of hits. I'd be concerned.
100%. But you know what? He's never really had an O-line, a consistent O-line.
Even if he doesn't have a consistent offensive line, he runs the football and gets hit constantly. Let's take the sacks and the quarterback hits out of the equation for a moment. He is still going to take more hits than most quarterbacks because he runs more than most quarterbacks, and he's got a terrible injury history with the leg, with the neck. It's a problem.
I mean, it's amazing to me the way the whole Daniel Jones thing worked out. For years, I was just saying he doesn't have it. He's not going to be the guy. You got to move on. Why are you still hanging on to him with the potential? And he goes out and has that year and then beats my team in the playoffs with his greatest game that he's ever played. So then I got to give him respect. But now I'm right back in the same situation as I was prior to that season, which is it's over. He's not going to bring you where you want to go for one reason or another. One, he's not good enough. Two, he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, I think, to me, the health thing is the biggest thing. I think he has shown he's got the ability to be a great quarterback, but a good NFL quarterback. And I think if you've got a good NFL quarterback, if you have the right defense in place, you can win a lot of games. But I just don't see how this kid's getting through 17 games, not with what's gone on over the last few years.
All right, Boomer and Gio with Jerry in for Boomer this morning. We'll get CeeLo back in here in just a couple of minutes on his Feel Good Friday.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Fan and CBS Sports Network. I think it's going to be a relatively nice day out there today. Some sun, 50 degrees. Feels like spring. Going to warm up next week as well in the 60s. So this is what this is all about. And when you get, if your team really goes deep in the NHL or NBA playoffs and you're sitting there in June on these really
80
hot
degrees.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best, man.
Yeah.
When you go really deep, like the Stanley Cup playoff, Stanley Cup final. When you're deep into it and you're sitting there in June.
Sign me up.
Yeah, sign you up, CeeLo. Sit outside. Maybe you got an outdoor TV on that deck in that giant backyard of yours. Sipping on a lemonade. Maybe a surfside, something like that.
Well,
taking in
surfside.
The Rangers. Playing the, Avalanche in the Cup Final.
How about a rematch with Vancouver from 94?
Yeah, that could work. Yeah.
The 99 Knicks, that was the shortened season where they went to the finals.
And they lost to the Spurs.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the LJ four-point play against the Pacers.
Which was my wedding day.
Yeah.
I was with Joe that year. I was still board hopping producing. We went to every home game, almost every home game that the Knicks played that year and into the playoffs. And I remember Eddie would love this, the way we used to park. We knew exactly what block to park, when the alternate side was good, when the time was good, and we'd be good for the night. And I remember we'd be like 8 blocks away, but it was free. And walking to the Garden when it was 84 degrees, going to like conference semifinal games, playoff games, it was pretty wild.
Yeah, I remember that. I went to a lot of games. Actually, went with Brian Rascona to the LJ four-point play game. Mm. We were there together because we went to high school together. And then I also went to one of the finals games. And you're right. I mean, that feeling, I haven't had that feeling. June, not that I like the city in the summer, but that, like, I could kind of put myself right back there.
Be that kid again.
You know, where you had your jersey and just a T-shirt under it and maybe shorts and you're walking into the Garden.
Maybe this year, Jim. Maybe this year.
Nostalgia.
Or walking into B&G Live. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's Boomer's problem. He's got his Rangers on.
Yeah, we'll be there. We're good.
We're good. We are all right.
This is just classic Eddie basking in this.
Oh, Eddie loves
delicious.
This.
I love that you used delicious earlier. And perfect that Boomer's not here today, so he can really talk it up even more.
I know Boomer jokes around about Jerry dying on the golf course all the time. He thinks that's funny, but I actually think if that had happened, Boomer would be upset. Eddie, on the other hand, would be like, Oh, no. You're kidding. On the golf course. Oh, my God. That's great. Does Al know? Can I tell him? Like he would be the one secretly that would be celebrating
Eddie. That's
it.
That's nice.
Where Boomer would be like, he jokes around, be like, oh, man, that's terrible. Like, he could do something for your family. But he'd be like, oh, God. And how many people saw this? Oh, his kids? Oh. Oh, it's delicious.
Anybody video?
I guess it won't be open casket.
Oh, God.
Which is, because he's such a nice guy and loves everybody at the same time. It's like Jekyll and Hyde a little
bit. Silent assassin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. He wants to see other people have a miserable time.
By the way, did anyone else just feel things vibrate in here?
I did right before the break.
Okay.
Maybe again?
This might be work in the building. If you heard it before the break, I just felt it twice.
Was it Tuesday? We heard
that tremendous bang.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's probably stuff going on in the building.
That legit like got me on my toes, even more so than the earthquake when I was in my car.
Mm.
That was a boom. It like ended right when the show ended.
Of course. 10 o'clock breaking news. Bang.
Boom.
Yeah, it was weird.
If there was like a horrible thing that had happened, like right at the end at 10 o'clock, would BT and Sal not open with baseball?
They love baseball.
Like, how many people would have to die for them to open up the show?
Are they themselves on fire at the time?
All right, let's get to CeeLo's update. What's going on, CeeLo?
Brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. More from the Knicks prepping for the series opener against the Sixers tomorrow at the Garden. Isaiah Hartenstein now knows what to expect from the home crowd.
Coming into the first game in the Garden, like, you kind of got goosebumps. I mean, just coming in, the atmosphere in the playoffs is even better than the regular season, and you didn't think that was really possible.
And OG Anunoby about to get his first taste of playoff action at MSG.
Everyone tells me about how crazy it's going to be, and I used to watch their games, like, growing up, and then even the last couple of years been watching their home games, so it's been crazy, so it'll be pretty cool to experience it firsthand.
Mm. And there's also business to tend to, like him probably at some point having to guard Joel Embiid.
I'm not sure. Maybe, I mean, I'm sure sometime during the series or the game one or whatever game, I'll be guarding him, so just knowing his strengths and weaknesses and being prepared for that.
Now, they have had some... Go ahead, Jared.
No, I was going to say, as we hear more shaking in the building, it's...
I'm not feeling this.
Really? Okay. Maybe it's our chairs. You guys?
When I came in to drop right off now, copy before, I felt it walking in there.
It's vibrating. I hear
100%.
It,
100%. Yeah. Anyhow, all these buildings with the playoffs, are, I would think, would all be sold out. Great environments. But the Garden and then Philly, I mean, those two might be, and we know the Garden is what it is. Yeah. Philly might be right there as the next best one. So it could be a great series. Should be a great series.
Do we think the Knick fan will travel well down to Philly for the series? No.
I do.
I don't. I think that place will be mostly Sixer fans.
I think that you're going to have a 25%, 30%. I'm telling you,
that would surprise me. That would surprise me.
I mean, these Knicks fans getting a taste
of
this.
I know that.
I know. And it's close proximity.
I know. I believe in the Philly fan, though. Like, when you watch Philly... I don't know. I look at the link. It's very difficult to see opposing fans in that place.
How do you rank the Philly teams, though, as far as interest level? It's Eagles, I would think.
Eagles, I think Phillies are now, too. Yeah. But I think playoff time comes.
I know playoffs, different animal. Yeah.
I think the Sixers right there are probably even with the Phillies at this point in playoff time.
Gotcha. Fair enough. All right, well, with some time off this week, not that they wouldn't have done it anyway, latest episode of the Roommates podcast with Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart. So they had a special guest this time around, Tracy Morgan, and Hart, usually calm, cool, and collected, perhaps feeling his nerves here a little bit.
Today we have the man, the myth, the legend, comedian, actor, Arthur.
Arthur.
We're going to restart this.
Yeah, no.
Had a tough time.
And then
Brunson's
like, no, we're live. You can't restart it.
That is amazing. It sounds like C-Mac when he's got like 5 minutes left in the show and he's sleep deprived. Like the other day, went to a call. He's like, Bob in Franklin Lakes. What's up, Mark? I was like, whoa. He's losing it. Poor guy hasn't slept in 4 days.
5 hour solo shows.
Yeah.
Yep, that'll not do easy. It. Here's Tracy Morgan talking about his late father doing his job up in heaven.
I know he's looking down. So when we there, I asked him to please take care of the players. Help them stay away from injuries and let's win.
How's that worked out?
And so far, my dad, we won 50 games.
Minus the Julius Randle.
Yes. What?
It's a bird, you moron.
Let's for a second entertain this thought, right?
Yes.
That dead people could help out sports teams. Which dead guy would be the most interested in the Knicks right now?
Which dead guy?
Yeah, who is dead?
Good question.
That would be let's just say they're all up there. There's one, like, you know how there's one person you think of.
So a super Knick fan that's passed away.
Right. Like, who is the one who would be more interested in the Knicks outcome than any other one?
Is Woody Allen still alive?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, he's
out. But, I mean, he's a total pervert.
I didn't
go. He'd be way interested in all the dead children.
That's not,
more than.
All right. Time out. That wasn't the question. The question was super Knick fan. The guy's been there for decades. I wasn't going into that. All right.
Where's Woody Allen? He's in the dead Asian teenager room. Someone get him out. The Knicks are playing a playoff game.
My bad.
I have a man who's recently gone to heaven. Huge Knicks fans going to the games.
Your
Richard
guy.
Lewis.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
That's a good one.
You know what? And he's freshly yeah, there.
Fresh.
So it's not like he's mesmerized by everything. He's still interested in what's right, going on.
And perhaps he's even still here, hasn't left yet and wanted right, to hang around.
Yeah.
Didn't go into the light.
Hasn't called in too many favors with God yet.
Yeah. I don't even want to say anybody else because I think that's a perfect one.
Just fans, not former players.
No, former players could be in
Willis
there.
Willis Reed.
Yeah.
But Willis
yeah,
Reed, I wouldn't go with the whole
won
former
his championship,
player
and he probably doesn't want somebody to upstage
okay,
him.
That's fair.
You know?
Selfish.
I'll buy that.
Because like, the longer that the Knicks go without a
yeah,
championship,
sure,
the more of legends they become. That's mm-hmm, what I was telling Doc the other day. Mm-hmm. Every year that goes by,
86 becomes more legendary.
These guys become
you're right,
unbelievably more popular.
That's a good
true,
point.
Yeah.
That is a good point.
Even though they should have won more. That is, they won one.
All right, so we got the Knicks. We've also got the Rangers prepping for Sunday against the Capitals. First round series opener there. So, of course, President's Trophy comes with sometimes added expectations, maybe a little bit more pressure, but Peter Laviolette not exactly agreeing with that team.
You know, if we had finished 1 point behind the President's Trophy, I don't know if the pressure changes. I don't know if that 1 point of winning or losing that position that you're talking about, I don't know if that necessarily changes.
All right, so we're downplaying that. How about the idea of, have you brought up or referenced or talked about the disappointment of what happened last year, first round against the Devils?
Not for a second have we talked about that. So that's last year, and not for me to speak about. This year I can speak about the New York Rangers and our team and our group.
I agree with
now,
him.
And I get that he wasn't the coach of that
yeah,
team, but it's interesting. I'm not saying I disagree with him, but you could see where he could have gone either direction.
I think if
one,
I was the coach of that team, I would bring it up,
yeah,
but he wasn't. He wasn't here, and it's a different... I know it's a lot of the same players, but
yeah,
it's different. I wouldn't do it either if I were him, and I wouldn't even... The whole President's Trophy thing... I wouldn't act like it's anything.
Right.
Just go win this game.
And that's what he's been
that's
about
it,
all year.
That's
and hopefully
it,
that will continue in the playoffs. We talked last hour about how these pre-draft press conferences really yield nothing, especially with the GMs talking. So Jaguars GM Trent Baalke with the media yesterday, mid-answer. Maybe this was the most interesting thing to come from any NFL GM this week leading up to the draft.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final
wow,
board yet.
Was that his, like, a gurgling, like a GERD thing or an ass thing?
That was an ass thing.
Wow.
That was an ass thing. One more time.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
Goes, excuse me.
He didn't even, like, no hesitation, didn't trip himself up.
Wow.
All in one breath, excuse me. It's like he knew it was coming, couldn't hold it back, and my bad.
I mean, that sounded there was potential left residue there. You know what I'm saying? Sitting at the rest of the press conference.
That's not what you want.
Oh,
boy. Also not what you want. You played one a couple segments ago from yesteryear with Carlin in the overnight. The service
yeah,
bruising.
Yeah.
Couple of other gems for
nonchalantly
you.
Just
yeah,
says that.
Yeah. One that had to do with, I guess, his performance.
Tim and Wontaw. Tim, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Chris, how are you tonight?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good. I just want to tell you that you suck.
Okay, well, thanks for checking in. I appreciate that.
I appreciate that, yep.
Those and are the reason why they're so good is because of Carlidge's reactions.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, okay,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And then one other one that had to do with another former WFAN employee.
Steve in Queens is on the Fan. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, Stevie?
Well, basically, I like the allegory.
Well, that's nice. That works for you. That's your deal. I got you.
I got you.
I got you.
Boy.
I had forgotten about that
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
There's a few others that I just can't.
I don't
even
know. There was something about Carlin that brought out the great prank caller.
Yes.
I don't know why.
You're right about the other one you played earlier.
Yeah.
The lead-in with all the,
oh, yeah,
the Mets
and Glavin.
Yeah,
and
I mean, the build-up was great.
Clearly don't know the answer to this. My guess would be, and Chris grinded. I mean, it took him a long time to get that opportunity. Like we were talking about before,
yeah,
they didn't just throw guys on. And when he finally did get on, my sense would be that there were people that thought he only got the chance because he was working with Mike and Chris.
Yeah.
And so they were going to call and let him have it.
Maybe. That's
that would
a good
be my,
point.
That would be my thinking.
Yeah. Remember that whole time, like, they did the bit with, it wasn't really a bit, but they brought it onto the air about how Carlin was offered jobs in all these cities and like Milwaukee and all these different places. Yeah, exactly,
I remember there was one in particular that was real.
Yeah.
That he was very close to taking because I was with him at the time. I was on the board.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Carlin versus Joe now is his show with a man named Joe Fortenbaugh.
Yep.
So he's doing his thing on national radio.
How about that?
And still doing Rutgers football.
Right. Yes.
Very much so. Baseball-wise, tonight, Mets out west against the Dodgers. First of three as part of a six-game road trip, and they'll get their first look at Yoshinobu Yamamoto. He's opposed by Sean Manaea. That is a 10-10 first pitch over on WCBS 880. You got the Yankees and the Rays at the stadium tonight. Clark Schmidt, Tyler Alexander with coverage on the Fan and the free Odyssey app at 625. I'm waiting for one of these lights to come down.
I think it's the construction
something.
On the road.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
Alan, I think it's the elevator work they're doing.
Okay.
We did get an email about it earlier this week.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. You know what the problem is? When you have an earthquake, now we feel everything.
Well, I mean,
you're wondering,
vibrating this entire studio.
Yes.
Yeah, they're ripping up King Street over here, too.
It was awesome. Why not?
Great. Yeah. I feel like they're always doing work.
And that is, King is to our back.
Correct.
That makes more sense to me than the elevator thing, but who knows? Whatever.
Either way,
who knows?
Nobody cares unless, you know, the roof caves in on us here.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
All right, CeeLo, we'll see you next hour. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Bill Ford Tough Studio. All right, a feel-good Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It is Boomer and Geo with Jerry in for Boomer. I'll text Boomer in a little bit to see what time he wants to call in because there's a couple of things I want to talk to him about. The first of which is the fact that Game 6 between the Rangers and the Capitals, and if necessary, Game 6, but a likely Game 6 will be during Boomer and Geo Live at White Eagle Hall in Jersey City. We're giving away tickets to that, by the way, in the 9 a.m. hour. Your last opportunity to win tickets to this completely sold-out show. So I want to ask him about that. Then I also want to ask him if he heard the Evan and Tiki Mayor Adams interview, because he was the one that actually alerted me to it. He goes, did you see that Mayor Adams was coming on? I mean, why didn't he come on with us? And I said, I think you have a reason why he didn't come on with us. But if you didn't hear the Mayor Adams interview yesterday, I have a portion of it right now, so you can hear it. Yeah, they really went for it. So the mayor was on with Evan and Tiki to talk about, I guess, this soccer stadium that's going to be over there at the new Metropolitan
by City
Park.
Field, right?
So I don't know how this comes about. I guess maybe Tiki knows some of the mayor's people, and they say, hey, we'd like to talk about this. It's a sports thing. It's a sports station. I don't know if the mayor's people reached out to WFAN and say, what's a good fit? And they clearly said, not this program. This would not be a good fit. But they did ask two non-layup sports questions.
Mm-hmm.
Did you listen to it?
If you're talking about the vaccine and the city, I did hear the question.
Okay, so you did. So what Evan asked him, he goes, do you regret the vaccine mandate? Now, that wasn't Mayor Adams.
So it was not.
Bill de Blasio was in office when that happened, and then Mayor Adams took it over and then kept it going for a little bit, but then slowly, repealed things. Now, he could have come in and just gotten rid of it right off the bat, but he did not, and that's when Kyrie was sort of going through his thing, but he wasn't the one who put the mandate in. And then the way that Tiki asked the question about the crime was, he was basically like, I feel so safe now in the city. He doesn't tell me why I feel so safe. So I thought it was a missed opportunity. And I heard CeeLo and Al talking about this in the warm-up show, and CeeLo had the opinion of, well, you know, it is a sports talk show, and, you know, they're talking about sports. And Al's response was exactly what I would have said, is, well, when you bring the mayor on to the show, then all, you know, no holds barred at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not then essentially just the sports talk show. Because, I mean, everything these days bleeds into one another. There's more gray area than there ever was. And, you know, people who are driving in, or people that are working in the city, people that are living in the city, are also the sports fans.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just sports fans. They're not just blinders on sports fans. They have opinions on these things. We talk about congestion pricing all the time, some of the crime issues and things that we deal with driving in. So, I don't know. Personally, I felt like it was a missed opportunity. Not that you want to come on and just completely go firing squad on the guy, but you know, a little more pushback than we had. It's not like this is, you know, the height of Mayor Bloomberg, where the guy could walk anywhere and get a standing ovation prior to the stop and frisk stuff that was going on. But I mean, I just felt like it was a missed opportunity.
And in fairness to Tiki, he didn't say everything's great. He said it's gotten better, but we still got a long way to go.
Okay.
And it just I'm pretty sure that's exactly the way he phrased it. But I think we've got a very long way to go, not a little more ways to go. There is still a mess in New York City. But, yeah, I mean, they could have, after they did all the soccer stuff, they could have went, and Evan knows more. That surprised me that he asked that question that way, because he knows more about politics than I certainly do with five lives.
Yeah.
The fact that he screwed that up was interesting. But, yeah, he could have done more. It was two questions. That was pretty much it.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the thing that has to come up, and I know it's not totally under his purview, but the biggest thing to me is the fact that we just lost that police officer who was shot by a career criminal who was arrested on a gun charge and was essentially roaming the streets because of this horrendous bail reform stuff that's going on. Now, that's not just him. You know, that's New York State, the city council. There's a lot of things that go into that, but that did happen in New York City.
Yep.
He did hold a press conference about it. So I'd like to know his opinion on how that stuff isn't going to happen again and what he can do to help it, as opposed to him just falling back on his recidivism thing. We've got recidivists everywhere, and we've got crazy people, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, I think there is.
And selfishly, I would have liked a congestion pricing question.
Well, that too.
But that's me selfishly coming in from Jersey and driving in. I don't know what those two do. Maybe it's not top of mind. It is for me.
Also, that's another thing that is not just him. That's a New York State. It's MTA. It's those things. But
he can have an opinion on it.
And he does. Right. And he is right, of course. And those are the hot topic issues. But, you know, and I hate when, like, the politician, when he does, like, the hunky-dory sports stuff. Like, it's like, he's like, well, you know, I just have to be as good of a running back as Tiki was. You know, like, stop.
I know.
Just stop.
That was when
nobody's
they were talking about
finding that funny or entertaining.
Bringing the Jets back to New York, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, well, we need to put that NY back on. You know, it's not the NJ. Yeah. Like, so anyway, I said earlier, I did text Boomer. I'll say it again. And I said, did you listen to the interview? And he goes, like, yeah. Can't work the app. Can you help me? Now, I don't know if that was a joke or he was serious.
I've got to be honest with you. Prior to yesterday, I would have thought that was a joke.
Yeah.
To be quite honest.
But after I fixed his Air Canada United app thing.
Did we find out that, I mean, clearly he's there. I guess he had no issues with what you did. He got through
the
problem.
No, totally fine.
Good.
Yeah, he got to the gate right away. He had no issues whatsoever.
All right.
So he's good to go. Man, did that feel good. I got to be honest with you.
That was one of the, how do I say this the right way? Watching him struggle with that, because I don't look at Boomer as an older, I really don't. I don't look at him as an older person that struggles with technology. He's got the apps. He's been the one that was on the New York Post app on the iPad before any of us, how great it is. He's got the smartwatch. Like, he's in tune with a lot of stuff. Seeing him struggle with that yesterday, and then the whole, I'll let you try and figure it out, smart ass thing.
Oh, bang.
And then you figuring it out in literally under 5 minutes. I'm with you. There's a part of him that was pissed that you figured it out so quick.
Absolutely.
Very funny.
He wanted to be right more than he wanted to upload that passport.
Mm-hmm.
And I stand by that.
Because he could have gone to the airport and figured it out with some sort of personnel from the airline.
Yeah.
Instead, you handled it for him.
Smart ass. There's two things like that he struggled with. But the other thing he struggles with is not with technology, which I think is sort of technology, but it's social media, is falling for the bullcrap story.
He cannot, like he did last week or 2 weeks ago.
He can't sniff that
we
out.
We have people that are stupid.
See, that's not nice.
No, no.
That's not nice.
That's not what we're saying.
No.
I fell for it too. Not last week, but I have.
I've fallen for stuff in the past, but he had a little run there like 3 weeks in a row with the Draymond Green choking Steve Kerr, and then there was another thing.
He hates Kerr, so he really wanted that one to be true.
Yeah, I know.
But come on. I mean, I know it's been done before, clearly, with Sprewell and Carlissimo. I understand. But that's really going to happen now? Come on.
Yeah, he really hates the Warriors and Kerr. Like, he's always like, oh, so they're done now. Look at all the money they spent.
They had a dynasty.
The liberals.
They had a dynasty.
They won how many times?
They're going to go down in NBA history as one of the most exciting, winningest teams that ever walked the court.
All right, and here's the part of it that, and we're all like this, so not just him, we are all like this. You criticize one organization for doing something when they win, then when you win, if you do it, yeah, but we won.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Like if the Rangers won the Stanley Cup this year, next year, and the year after that, or in 2 years, and then you paid all these guys a fortune, go for it. Great run, guys.
Exactly. We got that.
We would all do it.
We got that cup. Doesn't matter.
Yes.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.